Blog Talk Radio.
Just lift your worship right there in this moment.
Set us on fire, Jesus. Oh, Lord, we praise your name today. God, we give you glory. Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Welcome to the Daily Fire Podcast, live on Blog Talk Radio. 15 minutes of hot manna for your soul, taking you from the status quo of your everyday life to glory, to glory, to glory in our Savior, Jesus Christ. I am your host, Evangelist Rossi Williams, here with you live at 7 a.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday, with a new topic, live prayer, altar call, and then assigning your task for today. Daily Fire is sponsored by ChurchGirlDresses.com, the place where good girls shop with everything from church wear to casual wear to evening wear, and now even men's wear. We got you covered. So make sure you visit our sponsor, ChurchGirlDresses.com. Enter the code CHURCHGIRL at checkout to receive 10% off. I got a great teaching for you today. We're going to deal with that video that has gone viral of the young man and his worship group not being able or allowed to lead praise and worship in the Kojic church. If you have been paying attention, and I don't know how you could have missed it because it's viral now, the pastor of that church actually gave a recorded response that I saw on yesterday, and I want to deal with this. So the title of today's Daily Fire is Faith Shaming. Faith shaming. We're going to talk about that viral Kojic video of a young man not allowed to lead praise and worship. And we are in the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. While you're getting your Bibles ready, let me remind you of how to tune in to Daily Fire with me. Monday through Friday at 7 a.m. Eastern when I'm live. You can call in by dialing 323-870-4180, and I welcome everyone who's tuned in live with me right now. But if you can't call in at 7, hear the recording after 8 a.m. on my ministry website, feelthefire.com, FeelTheFire.com, or even better, follow the podcast so you never miss one powerful teaching by texting the message DF for Daily Fire to phone number 33222, and the recording will be text straight to your cell phone Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. Eastern. That way you can listen as often as you like while also being able to forward the text to bless someone else's soul. All of this information, if you are unable to write it down, is on my ministry website, feelthefire.com, FeelTheFire.com. Let's get into this word. You should have your Bibles ready. I am in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17, reading from the KJV. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. And that applies to women as well, so that we all could be perfect in Christ. All right, come on and give God praise for the reading of his word. What is our topic for today? Say it aloud with me right now. Faith shaming. Ah, you never heard of that term, have you? Well, I had neither until I came up with it today or yesterday based on what I saw. Faith shaming. You know how they have fat shaming and slut shaming and all kinds of shaming, but for some reason believe that the church is just supposed to bow to the whim of everyone's demands. Well, today we're going to deal with faith shaming. If you have not seen this video and you don't know what's going on, let me give you a quick backdrop, and you can actually watch the young man's video on YouTube. So this particular young man has a singing group, and he stated on the video that he was invited to lead praise and worship at a particular Kojic church by someone in quote national unquote, who apparently was not a leader at this particular church. So he and his group showed up prior to service, and he came in with earrings in both ears, and one of the females in the group, and these, now I'm going by his video, not what the pastor said, by the young man's video, and at least one female in his group had a very short haircut and was wearing a tie or something that appeared to look like men's clothing. So when he presented himself to whomever is over or was over that program that church was having or over their music ministry, the person told him, you know, that they couldn't wear the earrings. And so he said he removed the earrings. And then the person directed him or had someone direct him back to another location where there was also another group who was waiting to sing. And that particular person or a designee eventually came back to the young man and privately, now that's what the man said in the video, privately informed him that he and his group could not sing because their standards of attire based on how the woman was dressed like a man, and that apparently either the group had people who were homosexuals in it, or that's what the musician thought, the leader thought, and the young man didn't deny that from what I could see in the video. So based on their attire and being homosexuals, then the leader said that they could not lead the praise and worship in the church. Now, they were not told they had to leave the church or that they couldn't participate in the program, but that they could not lead the praise and worship. Well, the young man decided his way to handle this would be to blast this on social media, because, you know, in today's day and age, that is really what everyone does when they feel offended. Now, I'm not talking about things where you have been, you know, you've been a victim of police brutality or things like that, or, you know, maybe we're looking for someone who has abused someone. Yeah, I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying, in general, in today's society, everyone feels the way to just handle every offense is to post it on social media for it to go viral, and then hopefully what happens from that person's desire is that enough people respond negatively that it shames the other people or other person into changing their behavior. Sometimes that is warranted. Sometimes it's necessary, and it does produce productive change. So this is what he did, and a lot of people began to be angry at this church. So we don't have but 15 minutes. Please stay with me. Then the pastor of the church put out his own response. He recorded this at his church service recently, and he responded. And in a nutshell, his response was to say that we did not put the young man out of church. We didn't tell him that he could not be in church. But at Church of God in Christ, we do not uphold or believe in homosexuality being something that we would allow someone to stand up and lead our praise and worship service. And basically the pastor was saying he would not take down. Now that's enough backdrop for you for 15 minutes. As I said, please feel free to go look up both videos yourself. Now, let's get into this word on faith shaming about this. In the scripture I read to you in 2 Timothy 3:15-17, The Word of God lets us know that God's Word is applicable for every situation. Despite it being written centuries ago, there's really nothing new under the sun. There won't be any situations which will arise wherein the principles or the foundation of what needs to be addressed cannot be found in the Word of God. And it tells us that the reasoning for that is to equip us to be perfect in Christ, because in our own flesh, there is no perfection, right? We were born as sinners. But to equip us to be perfect in Christ, thoroughly furnished or complete, so that we can perform all good works of expanding the kingdom of God. God's word, in other words, always has an answer. So let's talk about an answer for that situation that occurred. In the book of Romans, chapter 1, I don't have time to read it, but I'm going to ref all of it because of our time limitations. Verses 24 through 32, the Bible teaches us that homosexuality is a sin. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, or the sexual use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind, that's a mind devoid of righteous judgment, to do those things which are not convenient. Now, you can continue through the rest of those verses because I don't have time. Again, that's Romans chapter 1, verses 24 through 32. And then in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that same book that I read unto you, if you go up to verses 1 through 7, it talks about what happens in the last days when men and women don't want to hear sound doctrine, don't want to hear the word of God, and how we turn away from that because our desire is to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, to have a form or a facade of godliness, but not wanting to deal with the truth. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about what a church is and what a church is not. I'm going to throw some of my legal work in here as an attorney with you. Now, what is a church? Because people, and I don't have but 15 minutes, I'm going to go over a little bit, but please bear with me. People seem to think for some reason that the church is a conglomerate of people who have to bow down or conform their beliefs to every person that walks into the church so as not to offend. That's not what a church is. A church is a group of people who are exercising their constitutional First Amendment right of freedom of religion to come in and exercise their religious beliefs. They establish their religious beliefs. They draft their own statement of faith. And because it is a constitutionally protected right, that they have the right to exercise, those members, right, because they're people, have the right to exercise their freedom of religion. They don't have to conform it to what you want or what I want. The people who are Episcopalian don't have to conform their statement of faith to the Church of God in Christ or Kojic. The Methodists don't have to conform their statement of faith to Catholicism. People who are Muslims or people who are even atheists, and yes, sometimes atheists have church where they exercise their right not to believe in any type of religion, don't have to conform it or change it to whatever Rossi wants when she walks in. That is their constitutionally protected right to exercise their cannot walk into the Muslim assembly and demand that they let me as a woman stand up and teach in their meetings or their services in a miniskirt when they require their women to be covered from head to toe. I don't have the right to demand that of them and then say, you're discriminating against me, or you don't want me here, or I need to shame all the Muslims because you don't believe in letting me walk into your religious assembly any way I want, do anything I want, you know, run it the way I want. No, 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 no. The church, the people in that church have their right of religious freedom. So here, this young man walked into a place to perform. And that place, that Church of God in Christ, those members have their beliefs. They're exercising their rights. And if anyone knows anything about Church of God in Christ or, you know, the sanctified churches, you're not even really surprised that of their position or stance against homosexuality. You can't be surprised. Because this, you know, this is how Church of God in Christ has been since its inception. I am a member of Church of God in Christ. So there is no apology that has to be offered in response to someone's faith shaming for the church, those members exercising their freedom of religion. They did not publicly humiliate this young man and his group. They did not call them up in front of everybody and shame them. They did not tell him that he had to leave the church or the service. This is not a situation where people were denied equal education, denied access to a house of worship, denied to drink from the same water fountains, to be able to sit on the bus, lynched because of the color of their skin. No, this is a group of believers exercising their right to believe religiously however they choose, and saying to anyone who wants to come in, you are welcome here. We hope that you will agree with our beliefs, but if not, you're still welcome, but we're not going to change our beliefs because you don't agree. For example, I'm in the Church of God in Christ, and those who know me know that I love my right at the knee or right above the knee dresses. Now, in the Church of God in Christ, you know, we're not going to turn anyone away who comes in with an above the knee dress or right at the knee dress. But generally, if you're, you know, standing up and you're going to be in leading the service or you're in the pulpit, you're not going to be able to wear that, right? Or if your dress is at the knee, but when you sit down, it's going to come up above your knee, you have to have a covering. I call it like a lap handkerchief. That's probably not the official term. So because I lead many programs and I'm invited to minister, when I go to church, if I have on a dress that's at my knee, I always take the lap blanket. I also bring in my car my clergy robe, which is down to my ankles. Now, my pastor has not told me I have to do that, and no one else has told me I have to do that. But because I realize that I have chosen to attend the Church of God in Christ, and in so doing that it is not my house nor my rules, then I understand that if I want to be used, I have to come prepared to be used in accordance with the members' beliefs and statements of faith. And not just that, I'm invited to speak at many different locations. I've spoken at Methodist, I've spoken at non-denominational, I've spoken at Baptist. And one thing I do is I ask about the event, the program. Do you have any special considerations or requirements I need to know? Because if I'm going into their house, I got to be willing to abide by their rules or just don't speak. I can just sit out in the congregation and still enjoy the service, just as these young people could have done as well. Our time is run. Let me wrap this up. Brothers and sisters, If I have a Super Bowl party or you have a Super Bowl party at your house, and one of your friends invites me to come, and your home is a smoke-free home, you don't smoke and no one else smokes in your house, and the friend who invites me knows or invites me, and I'm a heavy smoker and my whole family, we're a family of heavy smokers, and we come to your party, I should not come expecting that you're going to change the rules of your house to allow me to come in and smoke all in your home at your party. That's your place. Now, it is true that the person who invited me, just like this young man said, he was invited by National, who knows you and knows me, should have made sure I understood the rules if I let him know I was a heavy smoker, if I presented to him in the same fashion that, you know, I'll present when I come to you, because sometimes people present differently when they're in front of National or at different levels than they would at a local church, so the people don't even know the whole backdrop. But incumbent upon me, especially with today's common knowledge, that people don't just allow a lot of people to come into their homes and smoke, is not only to rely on the person who invited me when I know that person is not the homeowner, but incumbent upon me is to also reach out to you and see if there's anything I need to know before I come into your home so that I am in compliance with your rules. Now, you're probably not going to tell me I can't stay at your Super Bowl party. You're going to say you and your family are welcome, but you cannot smoke in my home. Regardless of whether I tell you that I chose to become a smoker, or whether I say that, no, this was not a choice, I was born addicted to smoking, or I had a genetic predisposition, it's not going to change your rule that I cannot smoke in your home. And that is the same thing here. These people went to a church where a church has a statement of faith in its beliefs. They were not kicked out of the church, but they were told that they had to be in compliance with the beliefs of those members. And instead of just saying, hey, we'll just stay and praise the Lord, or this won't work for us, sir, thank you for telling us, we'll leave, what they decided to do was to face shame the church. But God's word, it's still good. And I tell you that we're not changing the rules, but you're still always welcome. Now, we got to get ready to go into prayer. And as we go into prayer, I tell you this. No matter how many times I pull up at McDonald's and order a Whopper, or how many times you work at Houston's and tell them you like to wear the halter top and shorts like the ladies wear at Hooters, they will tell you this is not how we do it here. And no matter how many times you post their menu on social media or try to shame Houston's into letting you wear the uniform of Hooters, they will tell you we're not denying you the right to eat nor the right to work. But at this place, in our house, this is not how we do it. That's the same thing at that church. I pray for everyone involved. And I tell you, in these last days, God's word still remains good to teach us and to put us in check that the church will not be faith shamed into converting into the world. All right, let's go into prayer. And thank you for bearing with me. Father, we come today in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you praise and honor for this word. Lord, we thank you that we are not ashamed of the gospel. Even if it hits me, even if it hits every sister listening, even if it hits every brother listening, we understand, Father, that we're in the last days and that people will seek attention to shame the church. But, Lord, we must be able to deny the world and take up our cross and follow you. Now, Lord, help us in following you. Help us to be compassionate. Help us to seek to to exemplify your love, not to humiliate others publicly, not to embarrass them, but with love and kindness, expound upon the word, expound upon our beliefs, and to invite them into the family of Christ. But even in that time, help us to realize that our first duty to you as Christians is to stand on your word, understanding that we not only have a spiritual and moral duty, but we also have a constitutionally guaranteed right to exercise our religion for every person. And even for those with whom I don't agree, that I understand that they have the right to serve you or not serve you, and that it is not for me to create division to try to face shame them, because only you can draw a soul. Only you can draw a soul. And with love and kindness have you drawn. Now, Father, I pray for everyone listening that you bless them, touch them. Father, do whatever needs to be done in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let me do the altar call. We're going to end because I ran over. And again, I thank you for your patience. For those who are unsaved or who are backslidden, please repeat after me. Father, I come in Jesus' name. I repent and ask forgiveness of my sin. I ask you to come into my life now and be my Savior. Now, Lord, I confess that I am saved. Now, Lord, I confess that I am rededicated to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome to the family of Christ. Everyone, make sure you're in the Word, you're in Bible study, you're in Sunday school, you're in church. Make sure that you get ready to start the live online Bible study with me on Thursday nights at 7. That's coming up soon. The difference in this and that Bible study is that I will be able to take your questions and comments on air, and we will really be able to converse with one another, all of the listeners, and really rightly divide the word of truth. So I'm very excited about that. And all are welcome, whether you're a believer or not. You're welcome. It's Bible study. Okay, it's real talk Bible study. All right, please make sure that you text the message DF for Daily Fire to phone number 33222 to follow. You will receive the recording of today's teaching, and you will be able to forward it to others. Visit the sponsor, churchgirldresses.com. And most importantly, your task for today is to not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You chose to believe him. You chose to be saved. Don't be ashamed of your faith, all right? And treat everyone in love, understanding that love does not mean being a doormat. Sometimes love is loving a person so much that you have to pull them from the very gates of hell by any means necessary, as long as they're moral, right, ethical, legal, and just. All right, I love you. We will not be shamed as a church into becoming the world. Love you. I'll see you tomorrow.
Just lift your worship right there in this moment.
All I have in these hands and multiply, God, all that I am, and find my heart on the altar again, set me on fire.